Fix problems fast. When the tenant calls, it could be a leaky faucet, a broken window, a stove that doesn't work, a dishwasher that spills water on the floor, or anything else. What you must do is quickly determine if it's the property's fault or the tenant's fault. And usually you can't do this unless you zip out there to take a look. Remember, you bought close to home, right? Once there, if it's the tenant's fault, explain that you'll have it fixed right away, but they'll have to pay for it. The money will come from their deposit, but then they'll have to pay to bring the deposit back up to its full level. If it's the property's fault, such as a broken hot water heater, tell them you'll fix it at your cost. And fix it immediately, within hours. While you might be willing to stay in a house without hot water, or whatever the problem is, tenants who are paying rent won't. They expect things to be fixed as soon as humanly possible. And unless you want to lose them, you'll see that it's, in fact, done just that fast. Make regular upgrades to the house fixtures and features. Things wear out. Carpets get holes in them. Paint fades and gets dirty. None of these things are the fault of the tenant. They're just wear and tear caused by normal living. And you should plan on upgrading your rental over time. Some landlords do this every 5 years, some every 3, some every 7. The whole idea is that if the tenant moves out because the place is run down due to your lack of maintenance, it's going to cost you more money in advertising, lost rents, your time, and so on, than if you had fixed it to begin with. And for a new tenant, you'll need to spruce up the place anyway. Therefore, spend the money and keep the existing good tenant. Avoid being an arrogant landlord. What many unsuccessful landlords do is become arrogant. They feel that because they are the property owner, the lowly tenant should bow before them. Sort of like saying the tenant should be grateful to the landlord for providing a roof over his or her head. That kind of thinking may have prevailed during the Middle Ages, but it has no place in modern-day life. Rather, the landlord-tenant relationship is one of mutual benefits. You provide the housing, the tenant provides the rents. Neither is superior in some strange way to the other. If you don't like the tenant, you can ask him or her to move. You can also raise rents. If the tenants don't like you or the rents you charge, they can move elsewhere. In short, tenants and landlords need each other. If you can remember that it's strictly a business arrangement, you'll do better as a landlord. How do I profit from rentals? As we've seen, profits from real estate usually come from selling for more than you paid. Inflation and shortages in the supply of housing and other types of real estate force prices up, and that allows you to make your profit. However, there's another way to make money in real estate that we've only touched upon, and that's by collecting rents. When your rents are higher than your total expenses, you have positive cash flow. As that increases and you put more and more money in your pocket, you begin to make money from your rentals. Generally speaking, when you buy a property, you lock in your expenses. An exception would be if you have an adjustable rate mortgage with which the interest rate and the monthly payment can fluctuate. You do not, however, lock in your rental income. Over time, it should go up, at least to match inflation, and if there's a shortage of rental property in the area, to beat inflation. The way you take advantage of this is to raise rents. When do I raise rents? You raise rents when you can justify it, given the rental market. Note, I didn't say you raise rents when you need more money, or when you have unexpected repairs, or when you think the tenant deserves to pay more. All these are irrelevant to your rental rate. The rate of rent you can charge depends entirely on what other landlords are charging for rents in your area. When rates go up overall, you can raise yours too. How do I get rid of bad tenants? Bad tenants usually fall into two categories. Either they pay late, or don't pay at all, or they make a mess of the property. Chronic behavior of one or both types suggests that you may be better off without the tenant. Sometimes you simply want to get rid of a tenant to put yourself in a better state of mental health. If you have a month-to-month tenancy, normally a 30-day notice to move is all it takes. With a lease, however, the tenant has the right to keep the property as long as the conditions of the lease are met, until the term is up, often a year or more. To get rid of a bad tenant in a lease, you may actually have to pay them off. This could mean giving them several months' rent to move out. You'd only do this for a tenant you really couldn't stand. Of course, the ultimate way to remove a tenant who won't pay is eviction. This involves an unlawful detainer court action. You'll need an attorney at least the first time you try it. If you mind the store and raise rents when appropriate, keep good tenants and get rid of bad ones, over time you'll find that your rewards in the form of positive cash flow from your rental property will positively amaze you.